all observe a moment of silence and silent meditations, please. Thank you very much. Let me officially declare this meeting open. It's a very important meeting that is coinciding with other important activities within Parliament. However, because it's a legislative requirement for us to ensure that we possess issues, particularly the Section 76 bill, we are therefore obliged to ensure that we attend to this matter before us. For the benefit of record, I think we should place on record the following apologies. That is the one of the minister. It's a written apology. Minister Gordon is not here. His deputy ministers, Minister Nell and Minister Papela, and also the DG, Ntatema Tanzela, are not here with us. I think we need to take note the written submission made on their behalf. However, in terms of the delegation, the chief director is here. She'll be the one responsible. She's dealing with issues of policy, legislation, and compliance management at the National Disaster Management Center. So that is the apology that we receive. From the side of the Member of Parliament, we've got an apology from Honorable Zimande, Honorable Wala. Those are the two apologies that we've received. So, because it's a briefing,
sorry, Chairperson, from what I understand, if I did not hear my two colleagues, Honorable Julius and Chetty's names. From what I understand, when I spoke to the Secretary this morning, they also submitted apologies. I'm not quite sure, but yes, from what I understand, they also did submit apologies. I want to know whether they reached your office, please.
They didn't, however, we can place it on record to verify as and when we adopt the minutes of the proceedings. Those are the apologies that we've received. Then, can I then ask that we start introducing ourselves for the benefit of record? Can I start on my right hand side?
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name is George Michalakis. I'm a permanent delegate from the Free State.
Morning. I'm Moses Teta from Sanka, permanent delegate from Mpumalanga, member of this committee.
Can I then ask the officials that to stand up with the resource persons for the committee? This is a team that is working with us. Right. Then we have Honorable Tim Liver Dilindo, who's himself as and when he comes. My name is Jihad Mohati. I'm the chairperson of the committee of Corporate Public Service and Admin, Women, Youth, and Intergovernmental Relations. Can I then ask from the side of the delegation from COCTA just to afford a leader of the delegation to introduce herself and her team?
Good morning. My name is Anay Brevard. I'm from the National Disaster Management Center in the Department of Cooperative Governance. And I am responsible for policy, legislation, and compliance management. And the team with me is Mr. Lebohang Sakane. He is the Parliamentary Liaison Officer. Then we have Mr. Jurgen Steitel, also in our unit. And on my right-hand side, Ms. Gigi Gardner. She is responsible for, or she's in the Office of the Head of the Director General.
Okay, good morning, everybody. My name is Dumisani Klimbi, a permanent delegate from the Western Cape, a member of this committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm also from Free State for purpose of record. Can we then go straight to the business of the day? We are going to afford COCTA to do a presentation. Then immediately thereafter, we'll interact with the presentation in terms of questions and clarities. Then thereafter, we'll afford Honorable Secretary of the Committee, Dr. Manel, just to apply the procedural advice to the committee. Can I then afford an opportunity? Can I welcome Honorable Manopole? Can you introduce yourself while you are still waiting, Mama?
Thank you, sir. My apologies. I went to the wrong side of the building. Ke nna ga re ko masemanopole le lebola committee se se ka tabukuri.
Given name, you are not the only person. If you are the only person, I would have said go back where you come from. But because you are not the only person, officials from COPTA were also lost. They found themselves sitting in a meeting. At least you just peeped in and went out. In their case, they were sitting. It's all because of the big building that you find yourself in. But nonetheless, that's Honorable Hale Rekwe Manopole. You are welcome to me. Chief Director, it's your chance to do the presentation.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I understand that we do not have a display, but you do have the presentation in front of you, so I will take you through that. From our side, thank you very much. This is a privilege for us to be here today to brief you on the Disaster Management Amendment Bill that has been introduced to Parliament by our Minister. As you may be aware, disaster management is a functional area listed in Schedule 4A of the Constitution, and therefore it implies that the National Legislative Authority has concurrent competence with the Provincial Legislative Authority. I think that is also why we are briefing you today. The Disaster Management Act is the principal act, is internationally reputed for its emphasis on prevention and its relative comprehensive approach to disaster risk reduction. The main thrust of the principal act and the national disaster management policy framework that we have centers around the creation of appropriate institutional arrangements for disaster management. It basically argues that the ideals of disaster management cannot be achieved without structures to support its myriad of actions. Having said that, the implementation of the Principal Act that was introduced promulgated in 2003 already posed significant challenges, particularly at the level of local municipalities. And the purpose of the review of the legislation was therefore to address these challenges and by maximizing the effect of disaster management legislation specifically on communities and those most at risk. So if we go to the Principal Act, the main aim of that is to ensure implementation of an integrated and coordinated approach. Definitely across the spheres of government and also across the sectors. So, as I said, some challenges were experienced in implementing the Act. So the main purpose of the review was to strengthen certain regulatory provisions, avoid ambiguity, and provide greater legal certainty for certain issues. Just to take you back in terms of the process, Cabinet approved the publication of the draft Disaster Management Amendment Bill already in June 2013. It was published in the Government Gazette and a number of comments were received. The key issues that were raised during the consultation process and also in the comments subsequent to the publication were then incorporated in the Disaster Management Amendment Bill that is currently on the table. Cabinet also approved the submission of the final bill to Parliament in September of 2014, and subsequently we complied with the rules of Parliament and it was introduced to the parliamentary process. The explanatory summary of the bill was also published, and we are now in the process of deliberating on the bill. The National Assembly has completed and passed the processing of the bill to the NCLB, and the second reading debate will be this afternoon. If we look at the strategic focus of the bill, the review of our legislation form part of the strategic plan of our Department of Cooperative Governance, and due consideration in the amendment process was given to a lot of aspects, but also, among other things, the 18 key targets of the National Development Plan. The disaster management approach of the department also pays specific attention to the pressing needs of poor communities, specifically in relation to both natural and human-induced disasters in the context of a developmental and capable state. The proposed amendments to the Act provide more impetus on aspects of disaster management planning to support these priorities of government. When we decided to amend the legislation, it was based on calls that came from the political leadership, the South African Local Government Association, SALGA, the Disaster Management Institute of Southern Africa, which is the professional body for disaster management professionals, the National Disaster Management Advisory Forum, which is a cross-sectoral forum that was also established in terms of the legislation to deal with issues of disaster management in the country, academics, practitioners, and also some research reports undertaken by SALGA, the FFC, and also the International Federation of the Red Cross and Red Crescent. A process remains to define the scope of the amendment, and it culminated in the Disaster Management Amendment Bill that was published for public comment. I would like to say that we have consulted quite extensively throughout the process when we developed the bill and when we considered the amendments. And that consultation resulted in the drafting of the amendment bill, and it is basically aimed at clarifying terminology, representing the representation of traditional leaders in the disaster management advisory forums across the spheres of government, providing for the National Disaster Management Advisory Forum to also serve as the national platform for disaster risk reduction in terms of global commitments. It is also to clarify the roles and responsibilities of organs of state to assist disaster management structures throughout the process of disaster management. Then also to strengthen the reporting on policy implementation, on disaster risk reduction, relief, recovery and rehabilitation efforts, specifically also using the existing intergovernmental relations structures. It is also to expand the contents of disaster management plans of organs of state to include expected climate change impacts and risks, and I think we can all appreciate also that effort. It was also acknowledged by the Department of Environmental Affairs that it is very relevant to include these aspects into our disaster management planning. Also reaffirming the role of municipalities, both at district and local level, to establish disaster management centres and improve capacity for the development and coordination of disaster management plans.
Okay, you may proceed. Welcome, Honorable Nzimande. I earlier on registered your apology. I think we'll give you, as soon as the presenter is done, an opportunity just to introduce yourself. You may proceed.
Thank you. And then another important aspect that was put into the legislation was to grant the Minister authority to make regulations on education, training, research, and specifically also the classification and declaration of disasters that was also identified as one of the areas of uncertainty in some of the municipalities. I also need to highlight two issues that we were not able to deal with through the legislation. And I think it's important to take note of that because although we couldn't deal with it through legislation, we can deal with these things in other ways, and specifically also through your commitment and advocacy in the provinces. The first one is the notion that that implementation challenges are experienced due to the inappropriate location of disaster management centres. That is within the organisational structures of provinces and municipalities. So it talks about the challenge that was identified is about the authority and the seniority of the head of the disaster management centres in making quick decisions, and where they are within the organisational structure that gives them access to decision-making structures. So although we believe that it is very important that they should be in a senior position within the organisational structure, we were not able to prescribe that in the legislation. And then the other one is that there is no specific funding allocated for disaster risk reduction across the spheres of government. So there's not a pool of funds for disaster risk reduction, and it is incumbent of each sphere of government and each organ of state to make the necessary arrangement for funding and operationalization of disaster management issues. So as I said, we believe that careful consideration should be given to the placement of disaster management centers to fulfill its strategic role to effectively reduce the risk of disaster and also to be responsive to the needs of communities in the municipalities. So what we say, they should be part of the decision-making structure. Wherever they are located, they should be part of the decision-making structure and ideally report to the highest office within a municipality and a province. Such an approach will empower the executive leadership to ensure that the Disaster Management Centre is fulfilling its coordination role and also its strategic role to effectively reduce the risk of disaster within that sphere of government. What we have tried to do in the legislation is to indirectly address this issue by prescribing reporting requirements to IGR structures. And thereby, we'll be highlighting the strategic importance of issues of disaster risk reduction and also the management of allocated disaster management funding or disaster funding specifically. So this legislative provision that we have included should ultimately also raise the profile of disaster management centers within the respective spheres, because it will become compulsory to report on the issues of disaster management in the IGR structures of the provinces and municipalities. In terms of the implementation, the Chief State Law Advisor suggested the bill be tagged as the Section 76 bill, and once again, that is why we are here today, since it contains provisions affecting the interests of the provinces. We as the National Disaster Management Centre will continue to support the parliamentary process and also in the rollout of the legislation when the bill is passed into law, and we also intend to have roadshows across the country to ensure that municipalities and provinces have a full understanding of the implications of the new legislation. We are also in the process of working on regulations concerning the declaration and classification of disasters, for which we gave the minister authority in the bill. In terms of governance implications, we believe in terms of organizational and personnel implications that the bill does not require any additional or new implications. However, the Principal Act already requires all organs of state to have capacity to develop and implement disaster management plans and perform the function. So what we're saying is that already in the Principal Act, the requirement was there to have the plans, but we must also admit that it hasn't been effective in all the spheres and all the municipalities. So a few local municipalities specifically have recognized the need for dedicated disaster management capacity and have appointed officials, and you will also be able to add to this list of municipalities where it is effective, specifically, as I said, in local municipalities. And a few examples that we can mention is Tlokwe in Northwest, Polokwane local municipality in Polokwane, Agen Limpopo, Kwadukunta local municipality in KZN, the Greater Giyane local municipality in Limpopo, also Rustenburg local municipality in Northwest, and Mafeking. So those are just a few of the local municipalities that have already established the necessary capacity to fulfill the function of disaster management. And all the district municipalities in the country also have disaster management centers. Of course, also the metro. The amendment bill re-emphasizes the requirement to establish this capacity to ensure that we implement disaster management effectively across the spheres of government. To continue on the financial implications, once again, in terms of current legislative provisions, organs of state across the spheres and the sectors of government already have the responsibility to provide for developing disaster management plans and also the implementation thereof. And what we need to emphasize is that disaster management plan is not just a document that you attach to that gathers dust somewhere. It is a process, and people need to commit to that process and also to ensure that it is properly implemented and that communities are also part of that process. So the amendment bill seeks to affirm these responsibilities by having organs of state assign the required resources to perform its mandated functions. In terms of communication implications, once the amendment bill has been published, we will introduce appropriate communication mechanisms through our own department, communications unit, but also through the government communications information system. In terms of the constitutional implications, the bill seeks to give effect to the principles of cooperative government set out in Chapter 3 of the Constitution through clear guidance on issues of disaster management across the spheres of government. And furthermore, by placing emphasis on reducing the risk of disasters, it also affirms the collective duty on the part of each sphere of government and all organs of state within each sphere to secure the well-being of the people of our country. The interests of vulnerable communities and groups are also protected through this, and specifically through the focus on disaster risk reduction across the spheres of government. So basically, that gives us a brief overview of the bill and the intention of the bill, the intention of the new legislation, and what we aim to achieve through these amendments. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. That has been the presentation from the side of the department. Without much ado, can I afford an hour on Monday? Just to make him feel free to introduce himself, who he is, although, like I indicated, that I have already registered his application, that for him, that will be delayed. Honorable Zeman.
Thank you, Chair. I am a permanent delegate from KZN, member of the committee. Louis Zeman is my name. So I will still be excused, Chair, but because we haven't done with the appropriations yet.
Okay, that's right. He's a veteran, he'll have to touch all corners of Parliament. But nonetheless, he's welcomed, Honourable Zeman. Honourable members, that's the presentation from the side of the department. I'm not sure if there's any further input or additions from the side of the department, or must we afford Honourable members to pose questions? while they're still thinking. In your presentation, Ma'en, you indicated that there are two responsibilities that you did not dwell much, especially on the amendment bill. And if you check, to me, they are more crucial. Maybe just to ask you to re-emphasize, because if you check, you indicated that there are two issues that were not elevated, that could not be dealt with by the disaster management bill. One, you are saying experience due to inappropriate location of disaster management centers within the organizational structure of provinces and municipalities. Two, the funding model specifically for this. Because if you check, much as we amend, remember this will also have a bearing in terms of division of powers and responsibility. You would see, in terms of what you are proposing, particularly the amendment of Section 43, all along, it has been a call for debate from the side of the local municipality, both the local and the district. It has been a time that the district municipality was assigned to deal specifically with the issue of the disaster. Now that the amendment is specific to, say, the local municipality, will be dealing with it, yet out of the amendment bill you could not clarify the issue of funding. Can you just really elaborate further, because I think this is one of the crucial matters that we need to take into consideration. Even if you talk of organogram is personnel moves with the issue of the salaries and other related issues. So I'm just saying the funding model, if you can just elaborate, that would be the question from my side. Any other question on our members? Why are they still thinking, can I afford, Honorable Mshanga?
Gotcha. No, just for clarity's sake, on your slide 12, we are referring to municipalities that have already established this management, disaster management sections. Now, I don't see any of Mpumalanga municipalities, because I understand in that two or three municipalities that I know that they've already established this departments, like Malahleni and your municipality at Gertsland. I don't see that. I just want to carry on these things.
Okay, those are the two questions. Can I afford you an opportunity to respond?
Thank you. Maybe I'll start with the last question. Those were only examples of local municipalities. All the districts that I've indicated have disaster management centers established across the spheres of government. All the districts in the country have established disaster management centers. So because a local municipality is linked with a district municipality, not all of them have established dedicated capacity. They just work in collaboration with the district. So the local municipalities that we highlighted just indicated that there are some that already realize that they cannot just, you know, leave it to the district. They also need to establish the necessary capacity or dedicated people to deal with disaster management. So it's not an exclusive list. It was just a few examples. So as I've indicated, I'm sure there's many of you that will be able to mention even more examples of the provinces that you come from. Okay, then in terms of the organizational structure first, we have been advised by our legal advisors that also in terms of the constitution, it's not a good principle to interfere in the organizational structures of other spheres of government. So although we say there are certain things that need to be done, we don't want to prescribe to another sphere how they should organize themselves to do that. So we believe that structure follows strategy. So if you have the responsibility to do certain things, you need to align your organizational structure to be able to do that. And we don't want to prescribe to another sphere where they should place the function, but they should realize the importance and make sure that they that they deal with that appropriately. So, in terms of the Principal Act, it is prescribed that there must be a disaster management center in each metropolitan municipality and in each district municipality. So that is a requirement already in the Principal Act. Also in each province, as you know, there is a provincial disaster management center. So those things are prescribed, but what we do not prescribe is where does that head of the center report to within the organizational structure. Does it clarify that part? Okay. And then the second part in terms of the funding. Initially we wanted to introduce a fund specifically for disaster risk reduction, because there are adequate measures for responding to disaster. There are conditional grants for that. But in terms of putting something in place for disaster risk reduction, the colleagues from the Treasury have indicated that we cannot appropriate, or our minister cannot introduce allocation of funding within our bill, because then it becomes a money bill. So, as you know, the process is we can only deal with the matters relating to disaster management and not the appropriation of funds. So we have liaised with our colleagues from National Treasury quite extensively, and they have also advised us that within the existing funding framework of government, there is provision to deal with issues of disaster management. So each organ of state is supposed to, within their operational planning, within their annual budgets, they have to make provision for disaster management. And they can even also use some of the funds from the equitable share to address some of the issues. So they have indicated that each sphere of government must make adequate provision within their budget, and they must prioritize also according to the risk that they face for in their area of responsibility, how they're going to deal with the issues. But as I said, it's not a new function. It's already been prescribed in the Principal Act, so there are actually quite a number of good examples across the country of effective disaster management centers.
Any further questions? Another one is Monday. Actually, just the latter part of the answer now is disturbing a bit. Now that I'm recruited into the appropriation chair. And that is, the issue that then urges me to ask a question on why then, it weakens, the latter comments weakens the actual purpose of what we're trying to achieve with the bill, or the effectiveness of what we're trying to achieve with the bill then. And prior to that, also the answer to your question that they are not talking to in terms of the head of the administration, where should that person be? It's almost like a high fly bill, so to speak, if I may call it that way. Perhaps they could make further comment. I don't know, who would answer that, but I feel provinces would be quite interested to know what are we doing, what are we really trying to do, the actual weight of what the bill is trying to achieve. I think for me it's now a bit weak. So I don't know, but that's just an assessment. I guess provinces would still have to take a very serious look on the bill, this being A76, but I think it is important that we get a bit more detail. The actual rationale I hear, Chair, the
the issue because of the appropriation that they didn't want to create whatever it is. So it still leaves it so widely open. I mean, she's even indicating where they can use equitable share as co-opter. We know that how much contestation is there in terms of the equitable share formulas and that kind of thing. So it's really vaguely dumping a financial responsibility to a contested terrain already, which is the equitable share. And obviously, disaster management may not just be funds or monies to allocate on disasters. It's many ways. There's in-kind disasters, you know, but I mean, in-kind responses to disasters, but still, at the end of the day, there are financial implications. They are unviable municipalities. So I'm not too sure, Jay, whether really there has been a properly and carefully thought through process of producing the amendments when it comes to this part, the latter part of the comment or the explanation. But also, what is the rationale then on that one of the not placing the head of the administration to anywhere? You know, I may have heard wrongly, but she said that they are not placing the head of the administration anywhere, or they are not saying where it should be. So it's vague. I mean, we can't legislate on vague aspects. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. That is a comment from Honorable Nzimande. And I think it's proper because if you specifically deal with two issues that you are saying you did not deal with, these are the main critical issues that is still a bone of contention at the level of the local municipality. I would cite a practical example, that other municipalities still find them struggling with a simple responsibility, fire services. So I'm not sure really how effective are we going to be in terms of ensuring that they are able to deal appropriately with the issue of disaster, given that we are now saying, let's shift the responsibility. To me, honestly speaking, I see it as a shift. Let's shift the responsibility from the district and take it further to the local municipality. Whereas even at the district level, I am telling you, it has been a struggle. So I'm not sure, was there any proper assessment, maybe just to coin my question, proper assessment to really make a determination whether the district or the local municipality will be in a position should we amend towards directing the bill towards this direction where we are saying, in terms of how we shift it from the district, now say both local and the district, you take full responsibility, whereas currently if you assess, there's still a challenge. So I'm just asking myself, was there any assessment done, and what has been the determination from the side of the department? Honorable Khali, I think you'll be the last person maybe, if there's no any other hand.
Mr. Thanks. My name is Joseph Malawa. With regards to the consultation, I noticed that the House of Traditional Leaders is not included. So I just want to check why the omission, particularly what you have just raised, moving to the municipalities. The traditional leaders are also there, one of the, and they are key with regards to as well as a disaster. So just want to check why the omission, is there any, it was a conscious decision by department to omit that critical important stakeholder. Thank you, Chair.
The two questions are not.
Thank you. Once again, the last question with regards to the traditional leaders. During the process with the portfolio committee, a presentation was made by the traditional leaders, and they actually welcomed the provisions that we made in terms of including them as part of the formal structure of disaster management. So although it's not in the presentation, sorry, yes, but they were part of it. They actually did a formal presentation at the stakeholder meetings of the portfolio committee, and they were very positive about the amendments. Okay, then if I can come back to the organizational structure and the funding, I think I need to emphasize that the provisions of the Principal Act. The Principal Act, I don't know if you have a copy with you, but the Principal Act prescribes exactly what must be established in terms of disaster management for organizational purposes. It says that each district municipality and each metropolitan municipality must establish a disaster management center in its area. It further says the municipality must appoint a head of the center. The council must appoint the head of the center. So it is very clear that it must be part of the establishment, the organizational establishment of the municipality. The amendment process was basically only to say, when we go to a local municipality, we suggest that there should also be the necessary capacity. But if we, once again, the Principal Act says, the disaster, each organ of state, and each organ of state means each municipality, each local municipality, must have a disaster management plan. So it is not something new. The bill tried to clarify that, because many local municipalities said they want to establish the function, but they don't have enough support in terms of the legislation. So they came to us and said, please clarify that in the legislation, that is greater clarity when we have to work in the municipality doing disaster management. So it is not something new. It is something that has been in the Principal Act, in the amendment bill. It is just to provide greater legal certainty and greater clarity. Also, if we look at what is the existing arrangement in terms of the Municipal Systems Act, it says that the disaster management plan of a municipality is a core component of the IDP. It means it must be there. It is not a new function. It is not something that we have introduced now as a new mandate. It has already been there since the beginning of the legislation.
Apologies. That we understand. We understand clearly that it has been a component of an IDP where you only develop a plan. But in this case, you are saying there were no structures in place at the level of the municipality. And I would cite a practical example just to clarify our point. Where you go to the local municipality, you'll always find different categories of municipalities. You'll have municipalities that are almost rural in nature. You'll have municipalities that are more urban. If you talk of organizational structure, there are implications in terms of issue of remuneration. There are implications in terms of location of the personnel within the organizational structure. So we are saying there's quite a number of factors that you need to take into consideration. As and when we say these are two issues that we did not take into consideration, organogram and also the issue of the funding model. So I'm saying, for as long as out of this meeting we have a clear understanding, it will also be difficult as and when we go out there on the process of public participation. So we want really to have a better understanding so that we don't own up to a process where at the end of the day will be the same people that will be saying we did not even have a clear understanding in terms of what is it that the department intends doing in terms of amending the bill specifically on issue of old clarification.
I don't know if you got to express on my slow reader, but I just want to know, okay, it says in your Principal Act, the minister has the responsibility to allocate funding, isn't it, in any municipality or province. Now, I want to know who actually has an authority to declare an area as a disaster area. Thank you, Chair.
You can give me this one as the last question, yes.
Thank you. Okay. In terms of the Principal Act, the responsibilities for declaring disaster is also allocated to the sphere of government where the disaster occurs, so and the type of disaster. So if it is a local disaster, the council of the municipality can declare a local disaster. When it becomes a provincial disaster, it means it affects more than one municipality or it impacts the whole province, then the premier of a province declares a provincial disaster. When it becomes a national disaster, the Minister of Cooperative Governance has the authority to declare a national disaster. So it depends on the magnitude of the disaster and the extent of the disaster. And then in terms of the allocation of funding, in terms of responding to disasters, to the immediate effect of disasters, there are specific conditional grants for municipalities and also for provinces that makes it very easy to access the money to deal with the immediate effects of disasters. So there are processes in place, and that funding is dedicated for disasters, for immediate relief, and there are certain conditions. The disaster must be declared, and there are certain assessments that must take place, and it goes through National Treasury, and they pay the money directly to either the municipality or the sector department where that was affected by the disaster. For instance, they will pay certain amount to housing, for instance, or to education or whatever. It depends on the sector that was affected. So that process happens within the conditional grant funding.
It means the comment and the latter question, can you say that there's no specific responses on the Honorable Zimandi? Is that how I understand? Yes. Okay, I'm not sure from the side of your team and whether there's any person who would wish to further input.
Chair, maybe just on, on the local versus the district municipality interaction. If we look, for instance, there are different methods of approaching this, because we need to, when we look at disaster management centers at the local sphere of government, we also need to look at it in the context of other local government legislation. So we cannot just look at the Disaster Management Act per se. We also need to look at the Structures Act, the Systems Act, and various other legislation. And in that legislation, it talks about how municipalities, looking at each particular environment, can decide how to render a particular service. So when we look at, in terms of setting up a disaster management structure in terms of the Act, we need to keep in mind, call it the autonomy of local government, to look at each particular needs, each particular situation within that municipality. Because we need to recognize disaster risks are, very different between, two different municipalities. You may find that the risks in Clockway, for instance, can be completely different to the risks that we have in Eklanzini. Now, the point I want to make is, if we go and have a look in Clockway, for instance, the Clockway municipality as a local authority went and looked and said, for my risks, I would prefer a much more hands-on approach, where I have a disaster management individual employed by me as the head of a center, that I can manage my risks across my municipality. And I will liaise with the district municipality, on issues, that affect both of us. In the Eklanzini environment, the district municipality sat down with the local authorities within the area and said, look, what are the risks? They are fairly, the same. There are opportunities for us to save money by sharing certain resources. And in that, they are executing their authority to deal with, setting up their own structures to achieve not only the objectives of the Disaster Management Act, but also in the local government legislation. And I think that is what we want to achieve, with our legislation, is to provide local authorities the ability to look at their risks, to look at their resources, to look at the issues that they need to deal with, and then, with guidance, be able to decide, this is the structure which I would want to implement. And we also need to understand that over time, risks change. if we identify a specific risk and we are able to mitigate that risk, obviously the risk changes. So we need to have dynamic organizations to start dealing with these kind of issues. So in my opinion, and from the advice that we receive, you know, when you look at all these different variables, the best method, you know, in dealing with the local versus district issue is to provide, you know, that, call it, ability for municipalities to manage their own affairs within, you know, the objectives of the Disaster Management Act and others. So I think that is the key aspect that we need to, you know, in terms of that.
Still a matter that we are saying we still have further engagement is not a problem. But nonetheless, I'm not sure from the side of the honourable members if there's still any other question or any input. In the absence, can I ask from the side of and any further input from your side?
Thank you. Just lastly, I would like to just also bring some comfort to the committee. We have committed to undertake a kind of a study together with the National Treasury and also the SFC to review our existing policy framework around funding. The policy, the funding is quite elaborate in the disaster management policy framework, which is also a legislative instrument. It is not an act, but it is a policy framework. We do have a chapter there specifically on funding, and we have actually committed to review that chapter to ensure that we continuously address the needs of communities and make sure that the funding mechanisms that are available within government are optimized and that we utilize the money effectively in terms of what is available for disaster management. And thank you once again for the opportunity.
It's a pleasure. Can I then ask that we give the delegation a round of applause? I know in most instances people would attest it to say that we are in support. It's just a sense of appreciation, a token of appreciation on our monopoly. No, thank you very much. Can I then ask Ndate Manele, just to clarify quickly for us, what will be the processes moving forward as the committee?
Thank you, Chairperson. All members, we have prepared what you call a procedural advice with regard to this deal. I just want to direct members to the section that deals with section.
Thank you, Chair. So I was saying we have prepared a procedural advice. But without, you know, reading through this procedural advice, I just want to direct members to 7.1.1 to 7.5. I will just read the 6 week cycle as to how I'm going to approach this question. So today is week one, where we are receiving departmental briefing on the object of the deal. Week two, it means the department, maybe through the chairperson, the department will indicate its capacity to accompany members when they are doing provincial briefings in their respective provincial legislation. Week three, Chair, it means the committee, the respective legislature will be giving negotiating mandates to members of the committee to negotiate on the object of the deal. Then week four, the committee will be considering negotiating mandates from respective provinces. Week five, the provincial legislature will be conferring voting or final mandates to delegates who are in the committee, again, who are members of the NCOP. And on that last week, the committee will be considering the final mandates or voting mandates from respective, you know, provinces. And so far, I can go to thank you.
Any clarity seeking question? Honorable Zimande?
Yeah, I think we need to then programmatically give expression to this, which means the week one, Chair, because we would not also release members to go brief this week. So it means week two would effectively look into the third term, into the third term, finding slots for members, because it's a programmatic exercise as well to put to effect these aspects of the cycle, whether it's week 2, week 3, or week 4. They have to find expression to the main framework of the program itself. Perhaps the secretary would comment on that one, but I think it is important to highlight that as well.
Okay. So it means, in essence, you are saying, conceptually, we agree that we take input of the presentation by the department, but we are simply saying, effecting it further, it must be in a form of activities that would unfold in terms of the third term program. Agreed, honorable members. Thank you very much. In that note, can I then ask honorable Zimande just to say a word of thanks to the delegation on behalf of the committee?
No, we do. It was, a bit of a short notice for them to come, but we do thank them for coming and brief us, and thank you to the members for making it at a short notice to receive the briefing, and we would then accordingly, in terms of the committee management, produce the program, and I guess also check from here the liaison officers or the system, the NCOP committee secretary, would then cascade the bill to the provinces as of this week, so in terms of notifications and that kind of process. But Chair would also thank you, and thank everyone that has made it for the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Allow me then to convey it once again that thank you very much. Also, gratitude to the Minister and Deputy Ministers that we really appreciate this interaction. The meeting is officially adjourned. Thank you very much.
You're so preoccupied with this thing.
Yeah, I'm going to. I'm going to be here, please.
is about.
Yeah, maar dit is de meta.
Yeah. Wonder of ons niet ook voor schoolverleiding achter een column.
Ja.
Kind wil ons nou hier als we zo weer een of ander gaan doen over twee richting radio.
Weet jy dat van nie?
Ja, hy, nou die dag met die praat al so tong en cheek hoor. Hulle kon nie by een van die polisie nie, ons was hier by heel afse toe hulle communikeer nie. En ons al half verdrie dat hulle sou dit sleep al dan doen, maar ek is nie precies. Hy sê vir my, ek sal probeer contact van die kop kry van wat Colin laas my gesinne dan kan doen. Ik heb ook niet gekoeld en dan heb ik mij dan van die oude contacts en dan kan ik geen inlichting geven.
Correct. Ik heb voor ons een finale weergave gestuurd van die. Do you want to be Dr. Manny's actor, principal actor as well?
This one.
Yeah.
Just this one.
Okay. Do you know what? There are two provisions that were changed.
Okay.
And we don't have that version. This is the same by the same advisor in the previous program.
Okay. But this is that changed in here?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll show you which one it is.
Thank you so much.
It's a very specific of the Sendai framework. This is a global community, a new global community incorporated to the
community.
Yeah, but it's an acrylic combined, but I can see it's really
good. Welcome, sir.
Bye.
And what was the officer that changed that?
My name for who?